Certainly glad that you're here today to engage in another study from God's Word. Pray you had a restful night's sleep last night and ready to study with us the Word of God this morning. We certainly want to glorify God in everything that we do. And certainly if you need to respond to the gospel in any way by being baptized or by repenting of your sins or by desiring to become a part of this local congregation, we ask that you just make your desires known, and we'll be happy to talk with you concerning those things. This is the last week for the Governor's Scholars. Good to have them back with us for another month or so. We've been doing this now for probably 20 years with them, and certainly glad that they're able to come and to be with us and look forward again to that relationship again next year as these young people come back again, if the Lord will. Today I want to talk with you for a few moments, sort of a part two of a lesson. We'll do part three next week, and then I'll be gone the next week away preaching, but I'll be back in the second week of August. But I want to talk about again today, let's turn over to Ecclesiastes in chapter 1 and in verses 13 and 14. It's up here on the board as well, if you want to just look up here on the board. It says, "And I set my heart to seek and to search out my wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of men, by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for wind." You see also in Ecclesiastes and in chapter 2 and in verse 17 what Solomon has to say concerning that of life. Ecclesiastes 2 and in verse 17 it says, "So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind." And then he states at the very end, probably more familiar to you, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 13, "The conclusion when all this is heard is, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or whether it is evil." You can look throughout the Bible, maybe look at the prodigal son. We see a prodigal son in the New Testament, Luke chapter 15, to where he came to his senses, came back. Maybe a prodigal son in the Old Testament as well, although there are probably many prodigal sons of the Old Testament, but the one I think of most of all is that of Samson, and he just wouldn't listen. He just wouldn't listen to his father and his mother concerning whom he should marry and concerning his life. And Samson, it seems like Samson just wanted to test the waters. And the idea here is those that refuse wisdom or those that reject sound advice like Samson had done. But Solomon learned that life was just an illusion. And that's what we want to talk about again today, the idea of grabbing for handfuls of air. Hosea chapter 12 and in verse 1, Ephraim feeds on the air. Or this idea of that life is an illusion. It doesn't mean that life isn't real. But many times it does not fulfill what it promises. In Hebrews and in chapter 3 and in verse 13, Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 13, it says in Hebrews 3 and in verse 13, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." The sin is going to tell you a lie. That it's just an illusion. It doesn't produce what you think that it's going to produce. An optical illusion. We talked about it last week for just a minute. It confuses you. It confuses your eye into thinking something when really it's not there. Maybe this. Kids last week, they liked these things. So. Is it a skull? Or is it a woman? You can see the two eyes there in the skull. That's a woman looking into a mirror. Or is it? It's an illusion. Or maybe this word written here. You see the word liar. But really, maybe it's not the word liar. Maybe it's a man. You see up there, there's two eyes, and then his nose, and then his mouth. Or maybe this idea here, which man is the tallest? You look up there, and you think, well, you know, a fellow on the right, he has to be the tallest. No, it's all the same man. They're all the same size. But it plays a trick. Plays a trick on your eyes. It's a business about grasping for the wind. The text that we'll look at this morning, that'll be the text for our study. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and in verse 11, beginning, I'll highlight it in red here for you. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged. And it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear God. Go ahead and change that real quickly and center that for us. But here's the illusion. And the illusion is that God doesn't make us pay every Friday. Even though we commit sin, we think somehow or another that we just finally get away with these things with God. Because God hasn't called these things into account concerning me or you yet. So after a while, after sinning so much, we think, well, there's no payday here for us because God has just forgotten about these things. There are just no consequences to anything that we do anymore. And that's what a lot of people think. And therefore, they're going to do whatever they want to do. But we understand through the Bible that God is going to make us pay. The wages of sin 2,000 years ago was death. The wages of sin 2,000 years later is still death. Years ago, no such thing as a free ride. Years ago, I was working at the Bank of Louisville, 1978-1979 started. And one of the things that they offered at the Bank of Louisville was a credit card. I had never had a credit card before 18 years old. I don't know if my mother ever had a credit card or not back then. But I thought that'd be a great idea. So I went and asked my grandfather. I said, Grandpa Owens, I said, what do you think about having a credit card? Well, that was the wrong question to ask. And he told me, he said, the bill always comes due. the bill always comes due. So that's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes this morning. This idea of the bill always comes due. We think right now, people are offering, you probably see it today in the paper in the Courier Journal, about a special offer, no payment, no interest. Maybe you can go and you can buy a car and not have to pay on a car for 3 or 6 months. We think, boy, that's a great idea. I don't have to pay on that car for half a year. I can do whatever I want to do. Or I can find me a credit card here, some of the major credit cards, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, Visa, and get one of those credit cards, and I can just charge up things concerning my life and live my life the way that I want to live it, because, you know, I don't want to struggle anymore. I want to be able to do the things that everybody else is doing. I want to go on the vacations that everybody else goes on. I want to have the big screen TV. I don't know what the big screen TV is now. I don't know. It might be 120 inches. It might be 1,000 inches. But I want that big screen TV. That's really what I want. Maybe we're swimming in all sorts of debt. But finally the bill comes due. And maybe this might be part of your life right now, that you're seeing this and you understand these bills are coming due, and I really don't know what to do, and maybe my life can certainly end up like this. An illusion of life under the sun. To where believing there is a free ride is grasping for the wind. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 12 and 13. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow. We see over in Hosea and in chapter 8. Hosea in chapter 8. And in verse 7. Hosea 8 and in verse 7. It says, "For they will sow the wind, but they will reap the whirlwind." Your day is going to come. Payday is going to come. The bill is going to come due. We see in Numbers chapter 32 and in verse 23, as he tells these people that we have fought on your side now, on this side of the Jordan. Now we want you to go over with your brothers, and we want you to fight on the other side of the Jordan for the rest of these tribes. And he states there to them, if you do not do that, be sure your sin will find you out. And that principle is still true today. That your sin, still thousands of years later after this is written, is still going to find you out. In fact, he says over in Galatians and in chapter 6, Galatians 6 and in verse 7 beginning, it said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." Understand the bill. The bill is going to come due. Well, maybe we play around with this. Just an illusion. The devil is trying to trick our eyes, just like David Copperfield or somebody else tricks our eyes with some illusion today. This is what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to create an illusion for us by saying that fornication
Nothing wrong with that.
You do what you want to do. Some people remember their teenage years. And certainly the 60s were a time where they talked about there was free love. Talk about going out to San Francisco. The time of free love out there. And that idea just swept right across the country. And it changed the perception of a lot of things that even occur in today's society. Maybe the music we listen to today promotes this idea of premarital sex and fornication. Maybe the movies that we watch today build up the idea that this is a wonderful thought, that there's two people here that are in love with each other. Or maybe not even that. Maybe they're just like two just barnyard animals. We see what occurs. We see what can happen. Or maybe the personalities that we're attracted to in today's society when we get on the internet and we start to search out all the wonderful things that have started to happen now. I want my life to be like Honey Boo Boo. No. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verses 18 and 19. It says in verse 18, flee immorality. Run away from it. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Oh yes, this occurs. Or maybe this, maybe you got some disease now, some STD. That's the type of life that you want to live. But one day you understand that you are going to stand before God and you're going to be judged for the decisions that you made in your life. But this is just an illusion that the devil is trying to get across. He's trying to trick our eyes. He's trying to trick our minds. He's trying to trick our hearts. By saying, this is for you. Fornication is for you. That's what you need to be involved in. And the Bible is saying, no. This is not what you need to be doing. Or the illusion of the use of drugs. It's just a free ride that we can be involved in. In all of our neighborhoods today, it seems like this is just part of the norm that people are shooting up in poor neighborhoods and middle class and wealthy neighborhoods. It doesn't make any difference. Maybe you're experiencing hell, or you just can't wait to experience with maybe some of the new drugs that are starting to come along now. Maybe when you get into college in the next few years, you understand these things are going to be readily available for you. Maybe you can end up like this. Talking to a fellow, a boy I went to school with years ago. A fellow by the name of Jack Nazer. Overdosed on drugs. I didn't even know it. But years ago he overdosed on drugs. And this is happening every day in America. And maybe it's happened in your family or someone that you know about. Over in Galatians and in chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the works of the flesh. And in the middle of the works of the flesh, it says, verse 19, the works of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. And then he says sorcery. Sorcery, the idea here, the Greek word here is pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacy. He's not talking about here the works of the flesh are some drug that is going to help you to get better. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about cough syrup. We're not talking about cholesterol medicine or cancer medicine or something like that. We're talking about something that's going to change your life, something that's going to destroy your life, something that's going to lead your mind, your heart, your personality in a different direction than the Lord would have you to go. That's what the devil's trying to get us to do. He's trying to create an illusion in our mind saying that drugs are all right. And that you need to get on this train. This is a free ride to happiness. Or maybe that of the use of alcohol. Over in Proverbs and in chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And in verses 29 through 35, it says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? And for those that don't really know anything about the Bible, when you look at this, you can sort of put two and two together. If you even had a logic class or even logic in your own life, to figure out what he's talking about here, about a fella or a woman that's drinking. Those who linger over wine, verse 30, those who have tasted mixed wine, do not look on the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent, it stings like a viper. The eyes will see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things. And you'll be like the one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or the one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. Is that the type of life that you want? Look at these two. Aren't they sophisticated? Laid out there. Head hanging down. People are killed by drunk drivers. But sometimes that doesn't even happen. I don't know if you can see a little girl down here or not, a little picture of her when she was 20 years old. Her name is Jacqueline. That's her at 20. That's her at 21. In 1 Peter and in chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, people talk about, well, you know, Rob, I just tell you what, you just can't get drink. You just can't get drunk. That's the only thing. No, I believe 1 Peter deals with this. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 3, he says, for the time past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, and then you can underline the three next statements, drunkenness, carousing,
and drinking party.
I think drunkenness is self-explanatory. I think carousing basically means that you're about halfway there. And I think drinking parties means that of social drinking. And I don't think that a Christian has any business with any of the three. And the last thing here, the illusion of a family breakdown. People say to people, especially maybe a psychiatrist, man or woman comes in and says, I'm unhappy in my marriage. And the doctor many times will tell them, well, what you need to do is you need to do something that makes you happy. And if this makes you unhappy, then you do away with that. You get out of that marriage and you find somebody else that makes you happy. You don't have to get married to them. Just go and to live with them. Do whatever you want to do in order for you to be happy. Is that what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches the father is supposed to be over the family. He's supposed to direct the family. To teach the family the way of God. This business about what's happening with so many families today. And then a child may ask, is it my fault? And no, it's not. Sometimes it's the selfishness of one. Sometimes it's the selfishness of both. But just in conclusion this morning, I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13personifies love, or personifies love. We'll pick up the reading of verse 4. And to make this personal for you, instead of the word love, you just put your name in there. Well, verse 4, Rob is patient. Rob is kind. He's not jealous. Rob does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Rob does not seek its own. Does not provoke. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but Rob rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now when we read that, certainly that's the way we ought to be treating our brethren. When we read that, that's the way that we ought to be reacting in the world. But when I read that as well, is that not the way that I act in my family life as well? But the devil has created an illusion. He's tricked our eyes. He's tricked our minds. He's tricked our hearts. Into saying, if you destroy everything, that's all right. I just want you to be happy. In conclusion, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole. Some verses say duty, and it's in italics. And words in italics are supposed to be used for you to better understand the scripture. But he talks about it's the whole duty of man. But really, the original King James is probably even better when it talks about that this is the whole of man. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. We'd encourage you this morning that you not be tricked by the devil and by what he is trying to do to you, what he's trying to do to your family, what he's trying to do to all the people that you love. We would encourage you that if you need to respond to the gospel by being baptized this morning, that you'll make a decision to do so. There's several people this morning here that have reached the age of accountability and they need to be baptized into Christ. Or for those that need to come back to their first love, I invite you to come now while together we stand, we sing.